The Gemara is on the top of, Samach Beis Amud Aleph. And the Gemara is discussing Tanufa. Specifically, we begin with the question of who does Tanufa. We're going to talk about how to do Tanufa, which directions to do Tanufa, what is on top of what. But we begin actually on Samach Aleph on the base with the question of who does Tanufa. We said even a Ger, Eved Kenani Meshuchar, who are not included in Bnei Yisrael. We said that the owner does the Tanufa in tandem with the Kohen. And then we move on to a discussion about the tower that you construct for a tenufa, for this elevation of the carbon. You take the fats of the carbon and put them on the hands of the person lifting it, and then the next level up is the chaz of ashok, the chest and thigh of the animal, which is being given as a gift to the kohen. Whenever there's bread, the bread goes on top of that. The Rambam in Hachas Maisa Karbonos Perek Tes Halacha Ches says that actually the kleios and the oseres, the kidneys and other parts of the innards, are on top of the chaz of ashok in this pile. So in other words, it's the fats below, just the fats, then the chaz of ashok on top of that, then these other parts, and then the bread. So wherever there's bread, the bread is on top. Hecha, where is that? Rav Papa Miluim, Rav Papa says in the Miluim, and the Shita Mekubetz's notes, it's really true in general by Menachos, but it's written in the Torah regarding the Miluim. My timer, what's the rationale? We're on the fourth line on Samach Beis Amud Aleph. If you're going to bring me an argument based on one pasuk, which says that the shok and the chaze are on top of the ishaya chalavim, which we assume means these fats, excuse me, but I have another pasuk that says, as hachelev al hachaze yivyanu, that the chalev is on top of the chaze. So which is it? So Amar Abaye explains, Hahu demaisi lekohen the beis hamitbachayim v'rami lei. That pasuk that says that the fats are on top of the chazeh is talking about when the kohen brings in the parts from the beis hashchita, the place where they shechted it, puts it on the hands of the one who's going to do tenufa, is going to elevate the karban. So he brings it in with the fats on top and then overturns it. Rami lei is an expression usually of throwing, that he overturns it on the hands of the person who's doing the lifting, and now the fats are on the bottom. But I have a third pasuk. They put the chalev on top of the chazeh. So what do I do with that? That's post tenufa. After the elevation, you then give it to another kohen who's going to put it on the mizbeach. Teaching me that we need three kohanim. There is greater glory for Hashem when you have multiple people involved. The Rashash notes that really it's truly unnecessary to have three kohanim, because the first kohen bringing it in from the place where they shechted it could just put it on the owner's hands. And then, because the owner's in the tenufa too. And then he, that same first kohen, could put his hands underneath the hands of this person. But we evoke the principle of Barov Am, like we do regarding bringing parts of the Karban Tamid on the Mizbeach. We use more people. The Zevach Toda notes that this is a beautification of the mitzvah, but it's not actually a formal requirement, which is why the Rambam doesn't mention it, this need to use three kohanim. Okay, we said in the Mishnah that you do this with the Shtei Halachem, the two loaves of Shavuos, along with the lambs, that you bring the lambs of the Shlamim. So there we also want to know what's the status of the tower. Tana Rabban on the Braisa says, quoting the pasuk from Parshas Emor, Ve'inif ha-kohen osam al lechem ha-bikurim. The kohen will pick them up on the lechem ha-bikurim. So it sounds like the lambs are on top of the loaves. Yochol yaniach kvasam agabe alechem. I might think you put the lambs on top of the loaves. Really, is that the way you do it? No, Talmud Lomar, because the pasuk continues to say al shnei kvasim, on the two lambs. Wait a minute. Yal shnei kvasim, yachol lechem agabi kvasim. Does that mean that the bread is on top of the lambs? Tamad lomar alechem habikurim. The pasuk said that they, the lambs, are on top of the bread. So what do? Nishtakal hakasuv, which could be rendered in two different ways. One, nishtakal, meaning it's been removed. The pasuk has been taken away. Rashi renders it as the pasuk has been made shakul, even. The pasuk does not give me an indication one way or the other which one is on top, whether it's the lambs are on top or whether it's the loaves that are on top. This, by the way, is referring to the tenufa that's done pre-shechita, before the shechita. Rashi notes that. The Gemara back on Mem Vav talked about doing the tenufa before the shechita. So that's what we're describing here. So he says, Nishtak alakasuv. The pasuk is not giving me any indication as to the structure of the pile. Ve'ini yodeya im lechem agabe kvasim im kvasim agabe lechem. I don't know which way to go. So we're going to have four different approaches. The first approach, the Tanakhama's approach, is mamatzinu v'chol makom. What do we do normally? Lechem lamala. The bread ordinarily is on top in general with menachos. Afkan lechem lamala. So to hear, the bread is on top. Heicha, where do you see this? That in general, menachos, just as we said earlier, Amar of Papa b'miluim, it's recorded regarding the miluim. So Papa clarifies that the miluim are our basis for this, and the practice indeed is that you have the bread on top over the lambs. That's how we're going to do it. Second approach says, you don't need to see this as a conflict between the psukim Rabbi Yossi ben Hamashulam, or Rabbi Yaakov Emden says it may be Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam. Unclear whether this hay really belongs here. It's unusual to see a name begin with a hay like this. The Rabbi Yossi ben Hamashulam, Omer Kvasim Lamala. He says, the lambs are on top. Umani Mekayim Hashnei Kvasim. Then what do I do with the clause that sounds like the bread is on the lambs? Lahotzi Shiva. No. All of that was meant to do was to say that it's being brought with, Al is almost a with there, which we're going to come back to later. It's with these two lambs, not with the seven lambs that are in Ola that you also bring on Yom Tov. So he says, you resolve the two psukim, the association with the lambs, saying Al Shnei Kvasim is just to exclude Ola, lambs are on top of the bread. Third approach, Chanina ben Chachinoi, and he says, I can satisfy both psukim, you don't need to reject anything. Chanina ben Chachinoi, Omer meniach shtei alechem bein yarchosein shal kvasim umeinif. He says that you set up the lambs, as Rashi explains it, the lambs seem to be on their sides. And you put the two loaves between the thighs of the kvasim of the lambs. It is unclear to me whether that means that it's between the two thighs of one of the lambs, or whether this means that it's between the two lambs. You have the lambs on their side, you have one lamb on its side, then the bread, and then another lamb on top. I think it's the former, based on the flow of the Gemara, that it's actually between the thighs of the lamb. But it says, shel kvasim of the lambs, plural, so I'm not 100% sure. You put the bread between the thighs of the kvasim, umeinif, and then you lift them. And that way you fulfill both psukim. Lechem agabe kvasim, the bread is on top of the lambs. Ukvasim agabe alechem, and the lambs are on top of the bread. Amar Rebbe, to which Rebbe gives us a fourth point, and he says, what are you talking about? That's gross. Lifne melech baser v'dame nosin kein. You wouldn't do that to a human king, right? Remember the pasuk, hakrivehu na lefecha secha. Try bringing that before your human king and see what he says. Lifne melech malchei amlachem agadosh baruch hu nosin kein. Would you do that before Hashem? That's disgusting. We're not going to do that with a carbon. Ela meiniach zebet tzadze umeinif. Rather, you know what you're doing. It's side by side. Bread beside the lambs. What about my psukim? I have one that says this one's on top. One says that one's on top. Now neither's on top. V'haba inan al. What do you do with the word al in the pasuk? So Amar le Rav Chisda. Rav Hamnuna. Rav Chisda says Rav Hamnuna. V'amri le Rav Hamnuna. Rav Chisda somehow in the opposite direction. Rebbe letame. Damar al besamuch. Rebbe follows his view in general of the word al. He says al doesn't have to mean on. Al can mean next to. And we're going to see two other cases of that right here. Desanya, as the Brisa says, V'nasatala ma'arechas levonazakav, the lechem apanim, the showbread that's brought on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah says, you put frankincense on top of the bread. So Rebbe Omer al b'samuch, Rebbe says, on top of, means next to. The frankincense doesn't have to be on, not only that, I think it isn't on the bread, but actually it's next to it. To Omer al b'samuch, o'enu ala al mamash, maybe al means on. No, because you omer, v'tzakosal ha'aronas ha'paroches, the Torah says regarding the paroches, that it's on top of the aron. The paroches, the curtain, is not on top of the aron. The aron has a kapores on top of it. Don't confuse kapores and paroches. The aron has a kapores on top of it, but the paroches is in front of the aron. It's beside the aron. So what does it say on the aron? Ha'viomer al besamuch. Al just means next to. So our core case, our source is the aron. We deduce from that to the bread. That's how Rebbe does it. He deduces from there to the lechem aponim and the lavona. And then we are going to borrow that same principle regarding the lambs and the loaves. And that's the Rebbe actually says it. He doesn't make the explicit statement back to the original al. So I have four different approaches to resolving the question of how to satisfy lambs on loaves, loaves on lambs. One approach is bread is on top, because that's what we always do. Second approach is lambs are on top, and that's not what you're supposed to draw from the pasuk of al shnei kvasim. Third approach is that you can satisfy both psukim by sandwiching it between the legs of the lambs. And then the last approach is that it's actually next to the lambs. Good. Molech umevi malu morid. The Mishnah said that you bring the tenufa, this elevation that you do in all four horizontal directions as well as up and down. Melech Umevi is all four horizontal directions, even though it sounds like it's just a verb going back and forth. So Amar Vichia Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Melech Umevi Lemi Sharuchos Shalom. He says, you want to know why you do this? It's because of bad weather. We want to make sure the farmers are going to have good... I'm sorry, that's the second approach. I jumped the gun. The first approach is we want to show our obedience to Hashem, who is dominant over all. So we bring it into all four directions to show Hashem owns all four directions. That's whom we serve. And Malo Morid, up and down, Lemisha Shemayim Va'aretz Shalom, for the one who owns heaven and earth. That's the first approach. Second approach, Rava Mas Nuhachi, they learned it in Eretz Yisrael this way. Amar Chan Barukva, Amar Biosi Barachanina, Molech Umevi, Kdei Latzor Ruchos Ros. You do it back and forth, meaning in all four horizontal directions, to prevent bad winds from these different directions. Strong winds, hot winds, winds of drought perhaps. We want to avoid all of those. We're warding them off. Malo Morid, and up and down, Kdei Latzor Talalim Roim, to prevent bad Talalim. Talalim, Rashi makes it sound like Talalim is just the dew, the bad dew. The dew, either if you don't have any dew, then you're going to be in trouble because then everything in the ground is going to dry up. But if you have too much, then potentially that which is sitting on the ground can rot. So to prevent bad dew. I also wonder, though, because the word talala is used in Aramaic as a translation of anan, of cloud. So I wonder if that's not relevant as well. The context here is Hebrew, so it's probably just the dew that Rashi mentions. But in any case, he says, up and down, for good dew, separate from any tefillos for rain that we do. So Amar Rav Yosef bar Rav Avin Zos Omeres Shari Mitzvah Ma'akvinas Haparonos. Rav Yosef bar Rav Avin says, you see that? The remnants of a mitzvah, not even the core mitzvah, can forestall punishment. The Tanufa Shari Mitzvah, because picking it up is only Shari Mitzvah, it's a remnant of the mitzvah. As Rashi said, it's not Ma'akiv. If you didn't do it, the mitzvah is still valid. Votzeres Ruchos Ros Utzlalim Ram, and yet it can ward off these bad things. I'm not so sure that it's actually an even if. Even Shari HaMitzvah can do this. And maybe especially Shari HaMitzvah can do this, because it's showing that we're careful even about these little things. Maybe that's the merit, Davka, for us. And Rabba says the same thing is true regarding Lulav. We do it in these directions for that purpose. Tosfo says it may be that you only did all of these directions for the Shalmei Tzibur on Yom Tov as well as the Lulav because those days are days when you have agricultural judgment. So those are the days Davka to do this, in all the different directions, regarding the weather from these different directions. Tosfos also quotes the Aruch, that when you do the lulav, within each halacha hava, each time you extend it outward, you shake the lulav three times. You don't count the halacha hava itself, the back and forth. You have to push it out, then shake it three times, and then bring it back. The Sfas Emes challenges this idea of Shiare Mitzvah. He says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Tezayin says that we do the Shtei Halachim, the two loaves of Shavuos, because it's part of our davening for the Peros Ha'ilan, for the fruit of the trees. But he says the main reason we do the Shtei Halachim is because God told us to do it. Whereas when it comes to the Shirayim, that maybe we're doing for our additional purpose. Okay. On the last of the medium lines, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Mamti Leu Maisili. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, when he did the lulav, did it back and forth, umechavi hachi, he would point this way, he would demonstrate this way, ba'amar, saying, gira be'ene de sitna, an arrow in the eye of the satan, v'lav milsehi, this is not a good idea, do not try this at home, mishum da'asil is geruye be'i, all you're doing is begging for trouble, you're asking the satan to start with you, you don't say, yetzahara, try me, it's not a good idea. The Gemara elsewhere has cases like that, they talk about it with David HaMelech, asking to be tested, the Gemara at the end of Kiddushin with Plamo and a pauper on Erev Yom Kippur, this is not something to do. Okay, back into the discussion of how we do Tanufa, and now what we want to know is, we talked about the live Tanufa, that's pre-Shechita, what about the Tanufa that's after Shechita, that you do with the two lambs? Do you pick up the entire two lambs, or do you do just the Chaz of Ashok, just the chest and the thigh? Tanu Rabbanan, first wide line, first of the widest lines, on Samach Beis Med Aleph 62a. Tanu Rabbanan, Zivche Shalmei Tzibur Tu'unin Tanufa La'achar Shechita. You pick up the communal Shlamim after Shechita, U'tanufasin Kamos Shehein, intact as they are, full lambs, Divrei Rabbi, that's Rabbi's position. V'chacham Amar B'chaz of Ashok, and the Chacham say, no, you do it with only the chest and the thigh. But Ma'ika Miflagi, what's the Machlokis about? So Amalei Rav Chisda L'Rav Hamnuna, first approach out of three, he says, V'amilei Rav Hamnuna, Rav Chisda Samed as Rav Huna, saying this to Rav Chisda, just like we saw before. Bidon mina voki basra kamiflagi. The debate is, when I deduce from case A to case B, how much do I take from A over to B? Do I take only one core lesson, or do I say once we've built a bridge, we carry other things across that bridge? That's my question. Don mina umina, learn from there and then more from there, or don mina voki basra, learn from there, but then keep everything else in its source case? So, Rabbanan Savri don mino mina. The Rabbanan say, we extrapolate as much as we can. So, I learn the lesson of how I do the tenufa. Well, let's see it. Ma zilchei shama yachid tunin tenufa la'achar shchita, av zilchei shama tzibur tunin tenufa la'achar shchita. The only reason I know to do tenufa after shchita for the communal shlamim is because we do that by the private shlamim. So, once I deduce from the private shlamim, umina, I'm going to deduce more from the private shlamim. Ma hasam b'chaz v'shok, apachanami b'chaz v'shok, over there you only lift b'chaz v'shok, so too here. That's the Rabbanan. V'rebi savar, but Rebbe says, no, don mina ba'oki ba'asra. I only learned that one lesson, that you do a tenufa from the b'chaz v'shok. The rest of it, from the private shlamim. The rest of it, I'm going to learn in the communal karban. Ma zivchei shama yachet tunin tenufa la'achashchita, zivchei shama tzibur tunin tenufa la'achashchita. One requires tenufa post-shchita, so do the other does. Ba'oki ba'asra, but then I keep the rest of it in its place. Communal isn't learned from private. Hasan hu d'chaz v'shok. The private one is the one that you do the b'chaz v'shok. Avahacha, but here by the communal one, k'moshein, you do it as they are, intact, k'moshein b'chayim, as they were when they were alive, right before you did the shchita. And as they were when you did their first tenufa. That's one explanation of the Machlokas Rabbi and the Chachamim. Second explanation on the top of Samach Beis and Beis 62b. Rav Papa says no. Rav Papa Amar Dekuli Amar Domino Mino. He says everybody agrees that we deduce everything from the private one. Then why does Rabbi say you do it intact? Behind your time of the Rabbi. This is Rabbi's reasoning. He says I am learning from there, but not the way you think. Ki hasam, it's like by the private one, ma hasam davar shematan lakoin, afhacha davar shematan lakoin, by the private karban, by the private shlamim, you're lifting whatever you're giving to the kohen, which happens to be the chaz of a shok, afhacha, here too, by the communal one, davar shematan lakoin, you lift that which is going to the kohen, the whole thing is going to the kohen. Third approach, Ravina Amar de Kuleyama don mina voki be'asra. Ravina says everybody agrees that you don't deduce everything from the private karban, you don't deduce everything from your other case in general. This is an exception. V'hainu time of the Rabbanan. You want to know why the Rabbanan say we're going to borrow from the private karban to also learn chaz v'shok? It's because I have a separate lesson. Shalmehem, the Torah says, regarding the tenufa of the private shlamim, their shlamims, they're plural, ribuyahu, it means to include even the communal one, that the communal one is chaz v'shok, like the private one. Okay. All three, just explaining how I got to this machlok, is Rabbi and the Chachamim, but whether I lift the entire lamb or not, when I do the tenufa after shchita. The Gemara now takes us to the rest of the, almost the rest of the page, back to a quote, big quote from the Mishnah. They dealt with three different cases of smicha / tenufa, and they showed, Rabbi Shimon is the author of the statement, that in fact, in these three mitzvos, in these three cases, there are three mitzvos, of which two are done by each of the three. That was entirely unclear. Let's try that again. He says, imagine that you have a set of three cases and a set of three practices. So by case A, you do practice A and B. You do practice 1 and 2. By case B, you do practice 2 and 3. And then by case C, you do practice 1 and 3. So each of the practices ends up happening twice in those three cases. Okay, I don't know if that explained it any better. I have a chart, I wrote it to my Gemara, but I didn't get a chance to put it on the sheet. I apologize. But let's walk through it in the Mishnah. They give you the whole quote from the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosha Minin Tunin Shalosh Mitzvos. Three different types, specifically private shlamim, communal shlamim, and the carbon asham brought by a mitzora as part of his purification process. These three types, Tunin Shalosh Mitzvos, require three mitzvos. Shtayim b'chol echad, two of the mitzvos apply to each. In other words, each of them has two of the mitzvos, so Shlishis Ein Bahem, but doesn't have the third. Ve'eluhein, and these are the three cases, Zivchei Shama Yachid, the private shlamim, Zivchei Shama Yitzibur, the communal shlamim, V'asham Mitzara, and the asham brought by a Mitzara in his purification. Zivchei Shama Yachid, the private shlamim, Tu'unin Smicha Chayim, U'tenufa Shchutin. The two mitzvahs it requires are Smicha while it's alive, and Tenufa after it's been shechted. Ve'inbim Tenufa Chayim, what it's missing is the Tenufa while it's alive, pre-shchita. Zimche Shamit Tzibur, the communal Shlamim, to the Tenufa Chaim Ushchutin, has Tenufa before and after Shchita, Beit Bem Smicha, but there's no leaning on the carbon. Asher Mitzora, on the other hand, the third of them, Ton Smicha, requires Smicha, U Tenufa Chai, and the Tenufa while it's alive. You elevate it while it's alive, Vein Bo Tenufa Shachut, but there is no elevation after Shchita. So that's the quote from the Mishnah. So what the Gemara now wants to figure out is, why not deduce from each other that the third mitzvah should apply in each case? So we're going to ask about each of them, why doesn't it have the third of the three mitzvahs? First question, the private shlamim should require tenufa while it's alive. It's a logical point. We say, look, the shalmei tzibur has enough kedusha that it requires tenufa while it's alive, even though it doesn't have enough kedusha to warrant smicha while it's alive. We're assuming that that's some kind of an indication of its status. It has tenufa while it's alive, even though it doesn't even have smicha while it's alive. So zivchei shama yachid tunit smicha chayim, the private shlamim, has smicha while it's alive. Eino din shetunit tenufa chayim. Certainly, you should do the elevation while it's alive. Mi'ei rachman agabe zivchei shami tzibur osam. No, because the Torah uses the word osam regarding communal shlamim. Osam lema'utei zivchei shama yachid. It says these are the ones that you do the tenufa while it's alive. The communal shlamim get it, but not the private shlamim. Okay. Second, v'yu zivchei shami tzibur tunit smicha. The communal shlamim should require smicha. Mikal v'chomer. Let's go the opposite direction now. Uma zivchei shami yachid shein tunit tenufa chayim tunit smicha. The private shlamim doesn't require live tenufa, but does require smicha. Okay, it has smicha, even though it doesn't have live tenufa. Zivchei shami tzibur shein tunit tenufa. The communal shlamim which requires tenufa. It's so great that it requires tenufa chayim while it's alive. Ein odin shein tunit smicha. It should certainly require smicha. So Amar Ravina. Ravina says it's a good logical argument. However, Gemiri, we have a tradition. In general, Gemiri means halach l'moshe misinai, and that's the way Rashi takes it here. Shtei smichas betzibur. There are only two communal karbanos that have smicha. Rashi tells you one is the par ha'elam davar shel tzibur, the bull for communal error, and the other is the scapegoat of Yom Kippur, the sari mishtalayach. That's it. So you're right. Your argument is a good argument, but it doesn't fit what we know to be true. This is our tradition. Third, v'yehei asher mitzora taun tenufa shachud mikal v'chomer. Why doesn't the mitzora's carbon asher require tenufa after shchita? Logically, ma zivchei shama yachid shein tunin tenufa chayim tunin tenufa shchutim. The private shlamim doesn't require tenufa when it's alive, and yet it requires tenufa after shchita. Asher mitzora shetaun tenufa chay. The asher mitzora has tenufa when it's alive. Eino din shetaun tenufa shachud. Certainly, it should require tenufa post shchita. Our assumption is that tenufa chay, tenufa while it's alive, shows how powerful it is, and therefore certainly should require tenufa posthumously. So he says, Mi'ei rachmana gabe zivchei shama yachid oso. No, because the Torah says regarding the lifting of the private shlamim, oso, this one you do it with. Oso lema'utei asham mitzora. That excludes the mitzora's asham. Okay, last point. Tana Rabbanan Brisa says, Chamisha sheviu karban echad echad meinif al yedei kulam. If five people bring a single karban as a group, only one of them does the tenufa. You don't have to have all of them together. Perhaps even you shouldn't have all of them together. V'yaisha kohen meinif al yada. If a woman brings a karban, then the kohen is the one who does the lifting for her. Al yada doesn't mean on her hands, it means on her behalf. V'chena shaleach karbanosav in medinas hayam, and so too, if someone sends the karban from overseas, he can't get there. Kohen meinif al yada, so the kohen will do the tenufa on his behalf. Tosfos challenges this from a source in Yidden, but that will suffice for today.